This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, it's a very big privilege to be chatting with a guy with a very smooth voice. His name is Joel Parisian. I did say that right, didn't I, Joel?
Yeah, you got it right. First try.
You are from the Canadian group New World Sun, even though I think people probably would think you're American because you have a bit of that kind of, you know, soul-esque grassroots sound, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those things being a Canadian and living so close to the border. I mean, we're almost honorary Americans as it is. Although I guess you have to be very careful these days politically about who you say that to. But I've always taken it as a compliment to be mistaken as an American. I've got lots of American friends, and I think that America has exported a lot of great culture and music over the years.
Don't Americans, though, pay out Canadians a bit, though?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's lots of similarities between the cultures and, you know, being Canadians and, like I say, living right on the border. I mean, we get inundated with so much American culture. And I think it's kind of funny that when Americans travel abroad, you know, some of them will sneak a Canadian flag under their knapsack so they don't get mistaken for Americans. It's just an interesting time, you know, but I think that people are people regardless of their nationality and their allegiance to their country, and I think we need to look at people that way.
Right. Well, let's talk about you guys. How long have you been together now? Has it been 4 years or more?
Yeah, a little more. I guess four and a half years now, almost exactly, that we've been a group. I guess we started in June of 2005.
And you've brought out Salvation Station, but a new album coming out next month. Very exciting.
Really exciting. Yeah. You know, all artists are always very excited about their new project, you know. It's just one of those things that where all the repertoire is very fresh to us. And of course, we've been living with these songs for, you know, a few months through the mix stage and the mastering and all that stuff. So
yeah,
we're just excited to hear what people have got to say about it.
For sure. Now, your first album, Salvation Station, it definitely had that kind of gospel, soul, root sound. Does this album also carry that in your arms?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's hard to get away from our influences. You know, we definitely love soul music and we love gospel and blues and roots and funk and jazz. But I think if there's one thing that distinguishes this new album from Salvation Station is it's probably a little heavier. We've added a little bit more of an edge to what we do. And that's natural after getting the chance to play on bigger stages. I think you sort of, as an artist, you redefine your sound after you get that chance to play through big, huge sound systems in front of thousands of people. And I think we've carried that experience onto this record for sure.
And what are you hoping your fans get out of your music? I mean, I was having listened to Salvation Station before and, you know, I tap my foot along a bit, get in a good mood. What's this new album got in store for your fans?
Well, a lot of that still. I mean, I think a big part of just our ministry as a group is dancing. You know, I think that dancing is a form of praise and form of celebration that we should all embrace. And I think we're all, individually as members of the group, we're all very encouraged by the fact that people can move to what we do musically. But, you know, on top of that, I think that we're exploring a real wide range of sounds on this new album. And there's some songs that are definitely very eclectic, or we're definitely taking some risks on this new record stylistically.
What about lyrics-wise?
Yeah, well, I mean, New World Sun is always going to be a spiritually focused, gospel-focused band lyrically. It's just how we've come up, and it's the core of, you know, me as a lyricist, it's always the core of where I'm coming from as a songwriter. But I think that the album is very uplifting, but at the same time, you know, reflective. I really hope that people can find a lot of themselves in the lyrics when they listen to the songs.
What song on the album, yourself personally, do you find is that for you?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say. It changes every week, you know, because a lot of it has to do with how I'm feeling or what I'm going through, or the reaction from some of the shows. But right now, I'm really, really excited about the single, There's a Way, because, you know, as a songwriter, when you write a song, you really hope that you're not just writing it for yourself. you really hope ultimately that you're going to strike a chord in another person, and all the early reports of people's response to that song has been really positive, and so it just really affirms, you know, everything that you're trying to achieve as a songwriter.
Would you agree that your music, kind of that soul and blues sound, you can generally, you know, when performing live, a lot of interpretation when playing live, how do you keep that when recording?
Well, you know, I think you have to sacrifice a certain amount of spontaneity when you're in the studio, because, I mean, there are just certain things that are going to work live that may be tedious on a recording. You know, there may be extended sections that are going over well with an audience because everybody is swept up in a moment. But if somebody was going to listen to a song, you know, over and over again, whether it's in their car or in their iPods or at home, I believe that for recordings, you do have to distill the essence of a song so that it remains universal and it holds up to repeat listens. Mm. However, having said that, we do understand that we are a live band. We're definitely, you know, we're creating a lot of things on the fly. And so when we go into the studio, we're very, very keen on capturing all the players performing together at once, as opposed to assembling each part together so that you still get the sense of a performance, and then you allow those happy accidents to get captured on tape.
Are there happy accidents on this new album?
Oh, yeah. Really? There are plenty of happy accidents. We left all the lumps in the gravy on this one, and we hope that people will appreciate that.
Oh, I like that saying too. Nice. Is there beatboxing on this album?
You know what? There's not as much beatboxing on this record as there was on Salvation Station. And I can't really say that there's a reason why. I don't know. It's one of those things that maybe I just like doing it live, and I like to save it for live shows. You know, I think that you have to save some of your tricks to inspire people to come out and, you know, spend the money on the ticket. So maybe I'm just leaving it as a carrot there dangling for people.
Speaking about tricks and moves, I was watching one of the clips that you recorded live. Wow, you've got some cool dance moves, doing the little twist thing and the slide. Well,
you know, it's very validating to hear you say that, because I sure got teased a lot when I was in public school as a kid for wanting to be a dancer. I can't help it. You know, when we first started as a group, I was sitting down mostly because it's just the nature of the instrument when you're a keyboard player. Mm. It feels a lot more comfortable to sit down. But I think that, you know, it was Peter Furler from the Newsboys that inspired me to get up and dance.
Oh, really?
It was after, I think, our second or third show, and this was a couple of years ago when we had that great opportunity to open for the Newsboys all across North America on their go tour. And Peter was just wanted to be encouraging. He said, you know, I can see that people are responding to what you're doing, but they're afraid to be the first ones to make the move. So, you know, you might want to consider standing up, and don't be afraid to dance, because that gives people permission, you know. And I think that maybe he might have opened a whole can of worms, because since then I've kind of, I don't know, metamorphed into this spirit junkie. I can't help it. Once I hear the beat, and now I can't sit down to play, I just feel like I'm missing something. I'm missing an experience.
Oh, look, it's fantastic. Like, it's, and because they weren't too fast, they weren't too slow, it was kind of just right. It was very suave.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll just leave it at that.
Hey, let's talk hats for a second. You have some cool hats.
Yeah, you know, the thing with hats is, I think a lot of people are surprised to find out that I actually do have hair.
I think you're a bald guy underneath there.
I'm not bald at all. I got a full head of hair under there. But it's one of those things where, you know, when we first started out as a group, I just decided, you know, one night, it'd be cool to wear a hat. And I found that I was more recognizable before and after the show. Like, people were able to pick me out.
Oh, it's the guy with the hat.
Yeah, because they could see the hat. It was almost like I had an arrow pointing down, from above on top of my head. And so it's just kind of become the signature. And really, the whole reason why I like to wear a hat is just so people can find me afterwards. Mm. You know, a big part of what we do, a big part of just our ministry as a group, is reaching out to people and making new fans and friends. And I think I feel like Clark Kent a little bit, the reverse Clark Kent, when I have the hat on. People don't recognize me, so.
Oh, that's great. I love that. What's your favorite style of hat, I should ask?
Well, it changes. I was really, really loving my bilby hats, which are kind of like the short fedoras. So I used to really sport those a lot. But then it was like one of those things where, you know, like everybody started wearing them, and it kind of became like cliche. And I was like, dang, like everybody's kind of, I don't feel like so unique anymore. So now I'm like into wearing these like 1930s eras. Newsboys, like newsy caps and stuff like that. But who knows? I change my mind all the time, especially, you know, visiting other countries. Sometimes I get like turned on to whole new things where it's like, hey, that's kind of cool. And I just want to be ahead of the curve. You know, I'm a victim of fashion. I have to confess that.
Sadly, I don't think we have much to offer you here in Australia. I mean, we've got the Akubra, and it's, you know, the one that Crocodile Dundee wears and all that. It's, I don't think it will suit your style, sadly.
Well, you never know. I mean, we can't write it off. It just might work for that one show.
Though, one thing that might actually look quite nice is we used to have hats where we used to hang corks down from them so that, you know, they would fly in the wind and those flies would get in your face. That could work.
Yeah, well, if it's functional to get beads of sweat out of my eyes, then, you know, I would be willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to try anything once.
Absolutely. Actually, I always tease my boyfriend Sam because he's a keys player, and I always say, you're not successful because he's actually got a very large head and can't fit many hats. And so I say, this is the whole reason. If you could only fit hats, your career would take off.
There it is. And I have a perfectly medium-sized and very round head. Okay. I have, like, the most average-sized cranium.
There you go. Hey, is it true that you actually once wrote a song at a Dutch radio station?
Well, I cannot believe that the story is circulating as widely and as quickly as... That's yes. The answer to that question is yes. In fact, it's a really good story, and I always like telling it. We were in Holland, and we were invited to perform a couple of songs live on Dutch national radio. It's a fantastic program called X Noise. But they decided, you know, to be cheeky, they'd throw a curveball at us. So they said, okay, well, we've got a surprise for you. We've polled our listeners, and we've asked our listeners to submit sample song title ideas. That's it. No lyrics or anything. They just, and so what they did is they kind of distilled these entries to like the six top song title suggestions, and we picked our favorite one, which was called "That's Exactly How I Like It," and that was it. So, and then after that point, the big surprise was: okay, you guys now have 1 hour. You have to retire back into the studio. You have to write an entire song, lyrics and all. Give you 1 hour, and in an hour, you're gonna have to perform that song nationally, live on Dutch radio. So, and then the punchline is. We did get it done. You know, we were scrambling right to the very last second. And the song is actually going to wind up on the new album, if you can believe it. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Very cool. I like it. Well, very excited that you guys are coming out to Australia. I know you've been out here before, but Sydney has missed out. We are very sad that we've missed out on seeing you guys.
Yeah, well, I think we've flown into Sydney and then basically jumped into rental cars and drove north. So we have basically seen, you know, the Opera House over our shoulders as we were driving away. So we're really excited to just be able to take in the city and the people. And it'll be our third time in Australia in 3 years, you know, which is fantastic for us because we love visiting other countries. And I really feel like we've hit it off with the people from the get-go. So we're really looking forward to coming back.
I'm sure you will get many a fan at your gig, which is coming up January 28th. So people, don't miss that. And, of course, yourself, Joel, don't miss that because we'll be very sad if you're not there to pull out your moves.
No, I'm pretty sure I'll be there. I don't know exactly what hat I'll be sporting, but I will be there.
I think the cork hat. Look into it.
Oh, no.
It could be the go.
Well, you know I will now. It might not be for the entire set, but it'll be for us. I mean, I have to now.
Very good. Well, Joel, thanks so much for catching up with us today. It was a pleasure, and look forward to having you guys here in Australia.
Hey, we're looking forward to it too.
What's your full name?
My full name is Joel Andrew Desmond Parisian.
Four names. Nice. What's your dream instrument?
Wow, do I really want to confess this? I really wish I could play the saxophone. I played it when I was a kid and then I put it down, but I really wish that I still had sax chops.
What are you most afraid of?
Airplanes.
Oh, that's unfortunate because you travel a lot.
Yeah, career liability, right? I don't know.
What do you do when you get bored?
Read.
Which song do you wish you wrote?
Oh my gosh. I don't have an answer to that question. We'll have to drop that card and come back to it. There's too many.
Okay, I'll throw another one out there. If you could hang out with any artist from any time, who would it be?
Ray Charles.
Oh, very good. Dream car.
Oh, see, I don't want to say this either because it sounds really morbid, but I always wanted to take a hearse and totally dress up a hearse because it's awesome for moving gear, especially a 1976 Fender Rhodes.
There you go. Wow. Worst habit.
Oh, I hate admitting this. I have a bad habit of correcting people all the time. It's so patronizing, but yeah.
And final question. What year do you wish you could go back and visit?
I would say 1959.
Very nice year. Joel, thank you so much for catching up with us today and taking part in the 120 seconds of Getting to Know You quiz bonanza.
Yeah, I'm sweating now, but it was a lot of fun. So.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.